Young people, it's a joy for me to be here tonight to come and speak to you, and I thank you all for coming. And I can honestly say that I thoroughly enjoyed the singing. It was absolutely lovely to hear young people singing so well, and that's nice. And I trust the Lord will bless all of you. Now, I've been asked to come to you tonight and speak to you about the tongue, this little member here that we all use to speak with. And in particular, try and explain to you how that the tongue should be pure. The Christian way is for us to speak properly, not to say things that we shouldn't say, etc. So really it's the proper use of the tongue. And before I talk to you about that, let's read the Bible and see what God says. James chapter 3. Maybe some of you were able to work out in your own minds. Definitely you'll turn to James chapter 3. Because there's a lot of things said there about our tongues. So, we'll read the verses. I'll just read with you from verse 7 to verse 12. Verse 7 of James chapter 3. It says there, "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents, and of things in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh." Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of His Word to us all. Can we just have a wee quick word of prayer, please, together? Just ask the Lord to help us to follow the message tonight. Father in heaven, please bless us as we study Thy Word. And I pray that Thy Word will be backed home by the Holy Spirit, and it'll be a challenge to the young people. It'll be a help to the young people. Maybe even there needs to be a rebuke from the Word. The Lord knows what's best. Help us all to love the Scriptures and to seek to obey them. We pray in our Saviour's blessed name. Amen. Amen. Young people, I was in a shop today with my wife, and it's one of these fancy goods type shops, and had these wee sayings and wee plaques, and Karen was looking at all the things. I don't like those shops, I just couldn't be bothered, so I thought, I'll read the wee sayings. And one of them said, "You're all welcome to my opinion." It's all these witty things, right? But there was another one, and it said, "If you have nothing good to say about anyone, sit right down beside me." So if you can think about that, right? If you have nothing good to say about anyone, that means if you're an old gossip who always says bad things about people, sit right down beside me, you can tell me all about it, right? So I had a good old laugh, and I said to my wife, "Come here," once she had finished looking at the other, "come here, do you see this?" And she had a wee look, and I said, "Well, I've got to speak on the tongue tonight, isn't that a funny one? Sit right down beside me." Well, the tongue. It's a difficult subject, but I'll try and really, as I look across you all, I'm going to try tonight and make it applicable to all of you. I want you all to listen, even the younger ones, and I'll try my best to change wee bits and pieces as I go along. That'll be a help to everybody, alright? First of all, the scriptures here tell us that the tongue can't be tamed. Verses 7 and 8, I'll read them again, alright? It can't be tamed. "For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. Here, James reminds us that man can tame all sorts of creatures, animals, birds, reptiles, marine creatures, without too much difficulty. Man can tame them. He's got the ability to do that. Lions and leopards, they're wild beasts. Generally, if they are really hungry and if they're cornered, they would even attack mankind. However, man has been able to tame them. Not all of them, obviously, but the ones he can bring up as a pet and teach it various things, he can tame them. That's quite amazing. Even birds of prey, who naturally seek freedom. Big eagles, the owls, the hawks. He can tame them and teach them not to be just as vicious against their owner. Even dolphins have been tamed, trained to assist mankind to understand the environment better. Even during the war, dolphins were trained to attach mines onto the hulls of ships to blow them up. So man can teach these beasts, great creatures, to do many, many things. But James sort of says here, by contrast, however, the tongue can no man tame. That's quite surprising, isn't it? When you think of it, taming wild animals, that can be done with a lot of skill and time and all of that. But the tongue can't be tamed. The tongue can no man tame. It shows us how powerless we are to tame the tongue. And I suppose we could say to you, don't make the mistake of isolating the tongue because it applies to our hands and our feet and our eyes and our mind, because that which is controlled by sin can't be tamed. Not by us anyway. Our tongues can be very sinful, yep. Our hands can be sinful, the things we do that we shouldn't do. Feet can be sinful, going to places we shouldn't go to. Mind's sinful, thinking about things shouldn't think about. So it's not just the tongue, but we'll concentrate on that. There's a lot of things about us that are sinful, actually everything. But that's what the Bible teaches. From the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, we are all full of sin. It's no wonder Paul said in Romans 7 and 19, "For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do." You might say, I sort of lost that one. What does that mean? Paul's actually saying there's a lot of good things and I wish I would do them. But the sin that's in my life stops me from doing those good things. And there's a lot of sinful things I know I shouldn't do those things. But the sin that's in me makes me do them. There's sin within us. And the tongue can't be tamed. And you might be saying, well then, hey, what's the point in preaching about this then? If it can't be tamed, if there's no hope, well, like, that's not much of a message of deliverance or help from the Lord for me. If I can't control my tongue, well then I'll not even try. Now that'd be wrong. Because the Lord can help us control our tongues. When we fail, the Lord can help us. With man it's impossible, that's right. But the wee line in the Bible that says, with God nothing shall be impossible. It's important to remember that. It's impossible for man to do certain things. But with the Lord's help we can do it. That's the difference. And he's the one we need tonight to help us to tame and control our tongues. Please keep that in mind. The tongue can't be tamed except if you know the Lord and you let him rule your life. That's how to control the tongue. Second thing I want to say to you is this. The tongue can't be trusted. Because it says in verse 8, it is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. The tongue is unruly. Unruly. I don't know if any of you young ones have ever been told in class and school, you're very unruly today. No, I don't think you have. She has have. No, no. I see a girl down there saying no. She has never heard a teacher say you're very unruly today. Right? I would say some of you though possibly have heard the teacher say you're very unruly today. That a Greek word unruly, it means unsettled, right? Unsettled. Disorderly. Can't be restrained or restless. And our tongues can be just like that. You know, sometimes if the class is out of control, and that behavior should not be taking place, but sometimes it does. The teacher has to lay down the law again, sort it all out. Sometimes the classroom gets out of control, unruly. That's what God says our tongues are. Our tongues are unruly. They get out of control. You wouldn't trust an unruly person. Sure you wouldn't? I certainly wouldn't. You wouldn't trust an unruly person to handle your affairs or make a mess of it. And the tongue can't be trusted because it's very unruly. It's restless. Flits from one subject to another. I know people and their tongues are very, very unruly. You know, one minute they're slandering somebody. Next minute they're gossiping about somebody else. Next minute they're saying things about other people that aren't true. Next thing, you know, it's like young people, maybe, have you experienced this in school, maybe? I think you possibly have. Maybe there's somebody, and they're always telling lies. And they're trying to make you look bad in front of your friends so that they'll all dislike you and like them. And they use their tongue in a very unruly manner. That's wrong. But it happens. It happens. And the Bible says here it's an unruly evil. It's evil. And the tongue can be used in a very evil way. If you were to think, let's say, of the language people use, foul and bad language. You know the words I'm speaking about. That's wrong. It's evil to use curse words, swear words, to use smutty words, suggestive words, frivolous to say things about the girls that are not nice and totally inappropriate and, well, it's evil. What the girls said about the fellas too. You see, the tongue can say things that it should not say. Young people, it's evil. That's what God says in His Word. And He goes on further to say the tongue is full of deadly poison. Full of deadly poison. And that makes us think of the snake, whose mouth would be full of deadly poison. You know, the snake, the old fangs, if it sinks them into you. Well, then there's a lot of poison there. Poison that can hurt and injure, make someone ill, and do a lot of damage. Well, that's what the Bible says our tongues are like. And you know, we need to be very careful about this. That we don't allow our tongues to be used in this fashion. Could I really plead with you? Don't be using your tongue in an evil way to hurt somebody else or to harm somebody else. Because, number one, it's wrong and it's sinful before God. But number two, you wouldn't like it done on you. You sure you wouldn't? I wouldn't like it done on me. And the Bible says that we should do unto others as we would have them do unto us. So if you wouldn't like anyone to slander you and tell lies about you, you shouldn't do it about them. Because this is poisonous and it is evil. It is evil. And that's something that you need to take in. The tongue can be very evil. Careless. Wicked. And remember, deadly. Deadly poison. I've known people to say things about others that are not true. And it has done such damage that people have ended up very ill over it. Their lives have been ruined because of it. They have hardly been fit to go out of the house because of what someone has said about them. Do you see what I'm trying to put across tonight? God's right when He says the tongue is evil.
can do a lot of damage. A lot of hurt. Can't be tamed unless God comes into your life, stops you doing those things, and by His grace helps you overcome. Can't be trusted because it's evil and it's deadly. But the last thing I want you to think about is this. The tongue can be tested. I want you to concentrate on this one. It can be tested. In verses 9 through to 12, we see how your tongue can be tested to see if it's good or bad. If you do what's right or do what's wrong. Let's read it again. Verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Doth a fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either of vine figs? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. Here's the acid test as to whether we're using our tongues properly or not. Now, just in case anyone is thinking, I don't think I'll ever really talk again because, you know, a lot of my conversation would be wrong according to the preacher. I would use foul language. I would use suggestive language. I would try and put, you know, proverbially the boot into other people by saying things about them that aren't right and doing them harm. Oh dear, I do a lot of that. Oh boy, what am I to do? You need to confess it to the Lord and acknowledge your sin and ask God to forgive you. That's the first thing. And then there's a wee test here, just to see whether we're going to walk with God and whether we're doing right or not. You see, it says in verse 9, therewith bless we God, even the Father. So the tongue can be used for the right reasons, to sing God's blessing. Praise Him. You know, you could use your tongue in the right to do good. We were worshipping the Lord. See those hymns we were singing at the start? That was worshipping the Lord, using our tongues and our voices. That's good. It's good to praise the Lord. Thank the Lord for dying on the cross for us. So we can use our tongues in the right way. And we can use our tongues to encourage people, can't we? Instead of putting them down, making little of them, we could encourage people. We can use our tongues to help people. If we know somebody is going through a difficult time, well, we could just befriend them, be pleasant to them, help them through that bad time. Do you know somebody who will be getting bullied in school? Instead of laughing at them and talking about them and saying they're not able to cope, did you hear about them crying, blah, 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 couldn't you go and help them? Just talk to them. Be friends. You know, if you or I were getting bullied, we'd be glad of somebody to talk to us if we're all alone. And the Lord would require His people, Christians, to live like that, to show they care, to go out and try and help other people. So you can do good with the tongue, there's no doubt about that. But James says here, and therewith curse we men which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. You know, sometimes people curse others. They wish them ill. James employs the word curse in a wide sense here. He's talking about utterances of any kind that would be unkind. Wow, think about that. A person could praise the Lord in this meeting and sing the hymns, and then go out and make utterances that are unkind about other people or to other people. These things ought not so to be. That's not the way God wants us to live our lives. It's not. Our conversation should not be praising the Lord one time and then full of bitterness and criticism and spitefulness and anger. We're not to talk like that. We're not. But you have to overcome the tongue by the grace of God. Because even if you try to live right, There'll be times you'll just maybe get angry, and the old devil, he's winding up, trying to encourage you to do wrong, and you might say things you shouldn't say. But we're to live differently. We're not to do that. Say, Lord, help me not to be like that. Do you do that? This is the test. Are we consistent? Because out of the same mouth there shouldn't be blessing and cursing. They shouldn't be praising the Lord one minute and then saying things that would dishonour the Lord the next. It shouldn't be like that. Definitely not. There shouldn't be blessing and praise for the Lord on the Lord's day and then the rest of the week nastiness. Because that's not God's way. These things ought not so to be. Shouldn't be. You would say, I know people like that. And so do I. And I wonder sometimes if they're saved at all. Some of them. Because the way they talk, they just don't talk like Christians. They just don't. Not even on Sunday. They say they're Christians, but they don't talk like Christians. But a Christian will talk right. You know, it says in verses 11 and 12, doth a fountain send forth at the same time sweet water and bitter? No, it can't do that. A fountain, the water that comes out of it, will either be good or bad. It can't be both. You know, if a fountain is putting out water, it's not going to be drinkable water 1 second and the next second coming from the same flow water. You can't drink. It can't be good and bad coming out of the fountain. The fountain will either pump out good water all the time or bad water all the time. That's common sense, isn't it? So what's James hinting at here? He's saying, well, if your heart's right, what'll come out of your mouth will be good. However, if your heart's not right with God, what'll come out of your mouth will be bad. You're either right with God or you're not. You're either saved or you're not. You're either walking with the Lord or you're not. It can't be a wee bit of both. And every now and then it chops and changes depending on the mood you're in. That's not the way God works. So young people, what comes out of your mouth? Is it good or bad? Now, if it's bad, that means you have to examine your heart and ask yourself, is my heart right with God? Can't really be if there's a lot of badness coming out of my mouth. However, when your heart is right with God, you will strive to ensure that what comes out of your mouth is good and glorifying to God. A person's speech tells you an awful lot about them. Even as a minister, when I first meet people, I suppose I watch them, seek to learn as much as I can from the body language and the way they get on, but I listen. And that's how I really learn. I listen. When I meet a person and say they're a Christian, but they're nothing but a smart aleck, and they're always putting other people down and trying to miss their big, I just think, you're proud. And you aren't really the Christian you think you are. I meet someone and they have nothing good to say about anyone and they're always putting other people down. I think, that person's not the Christian he or she thinks they are. Because what's coming out of the mouth is not right. But when you meet someone who seeks to encourage others and doesn't try to put other people down all the time, who's got a kind and a gracious word, that's encouraging, and I'm encouraged when I meet people like that. And could I encourage you to be kind and encouraging and remember the Lord Jesus Christ, how kind and how encouraging he was to sinners. He never encouraged them in their sin, but he encouraged them to flee from it and turn to him and get saved. But he did it in such a kind way. such an honest way, in such a helpful way, in such a loving way. And there were people, you know, and I'll close with this, because you've listened well, and I appreciate it, even the young ones, you've listened well, thank you. But even, there were people in the Lord's day, and nobody else wanted to bother with them. They were notorious sinners. The lowest of the low, and the down and outs. And they weren't up to much. And others would have criticized them. He loved them. Spoke words of kindness to them. Told them how to be saved. And encouraged them to get saved. And many of them did. So I trust tonight that you'll hear the Lord speaking to you. Because He speaks wonderful words. Words of comfort and love. And I trust you'll come to Him and accept Him. And then our speech will be changed and our behavior will be changed. All because our heart has been changed. And the Lord alone can do that.